This is On Point. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Okay, here's a pop quiz for you. How many American soldiers are in Syria today? The answer? Around 2,000. And why are they there? Well, to fight ISIS, of course. But that mission could be changing. Last week, National Security Advisor John Bolton said U.S. troops will not leave Syria, quote, as long as Iranian troops are outside Iranian borders, and that includes Iranian proxies and militias, end quote. Well, that's a sharp departure from the military's current mission, and for the first time, it ties U.S. goals in Syria directly to countering Iran. So, listeners, what do you think? If you applauded when President Trump vowed to bring American troops home, do you think we need to stay in Syria to take on Iran now? Well, joining me now from Beirut, Lebanon, is Liz Sly, Beirut Bureau Chief for The Washington Post. Liz, it's good to have you.
Thank you for having me.
Also with us from Tyson's Corner, Virginia, is Kyle Rempfer. He is a reporter for the Military Times. Kyle, welcome to you.
Hey, thanks for having me.
All right, so Kyle, let me start with you. I mean, you wrote about what John Bolton said in this article for the Military Times. By the way, we've got a link to it at onpointradio.org. How big of a shift in rhetoric is this regarding the U.S. mission in Syria?
It seems to be kind of a more overt way to say that the prior U.S. policy goals, which were to mainly just put U.S. troops in eastern Syria in order to fight ISIS, is being expanded. So the Pentagon has readily acknowledged, Pentagon officials up to and including Secretary of Defense Mattis, that U.S. troops are only fighting ISIS. However, they do play a secondary benefit of balancing against Iranian influence in the country. Bolton kind of came out and was way more overt in saying that that is the primary goal, countering Iran. Hence, the condition for U.S. withdrawal is the withdrawal of Iranian forces. So that's a changing mission, or an expanding of like the mission parameters, at least.
Right. So I'm seeing here that James Jeffrey, the State Department's special representative for Syria, following John Bolton's comments, said that the United States would maintain a presence in Syria, possibly including an extended military mission, again, until Iran withdraws soldiers and military forces it commands. And Jeffrey told reporters on Thursday that the president wants us in Syria until that and the other conditions are met. But Kyle, I mean, the authorization for use of military force that the U.S. is operating on in Syria right now, those date back to Afghanistan and Iraq, right? They're counterterrorism authorizations.
Yeah, well, there's one from 2001, which covers al-Qaeda and its affiliates and those who harbored al-Qaeda in response to the 9/11 terror attacks. And then there's one from 2002 against Iraq. And so neither of those really cover the Iranian mission. And so I think that the way that if they were to continue having a U.S. presence in eastern Syria, they would try to cloak it by saying that U.S. troops are conducting counter-ISIS missions primarily, and they would just continue to say, well, you know, it also balances against Iran, so that's just a secondary benefit.
Right. Well, Liz Sly, you're joining us here from Beirut. I mean, let me ask you, how is this new language, or maybe to use Kyle's description of it, more overt language from the Trump administration, how is that going over in the region?
Well, I think people have been a bit surprised by the sudden coming out against Iran that we've seen here, because, as you remember, a few months ago, Trump said the troops were going to be going home very, very soon, and there was actually an expectation that they would be perhaps gone by the end of the year. And most of the regional powers involved in Syria, such as Russia, Turkey, everyone else in the neighborhood, have been expecting U.S. troops to go, and they've been predicating their policy on U.S. troops going. The idea that they're actually going to be staying there indefinitely definitely puts them back, like, in the picture when it comes to negotiating an end to the Syrian war. And I think it's a bit unclear where that's all going to lead at the moment.
Okay. Well, let's hear a little bit more from what National Security Advisor John Bolton said in his ramping up of the anti-Iran rhetoric. On Monday, again, he said, we're not going to leave Syria as long as Iranian troops are outside Iranian borders. And then on Tuesday, he went even further.
If you cross us, our allies or our partners, if you harm our citizens, if you continue to lie, cheat, and deceive, yes, there will indeed be hell to pay.
Well, the very next day, on Wednesday of last week, some lawmakers did question the U.S.'s military role in Syria and this expansion of that military objective. They questioned Robert Karam, Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Affairs. And here you're going to hear Massachusetts Democratic Congressman Seth Moulton pressing Karam to get more specific about Iran in Syria and how that correlates with the mission in fighting ISIS.
The problem is that National Security Advisor John Bolton stated that the United States intends to keep an indefinite military presence in Syria until Iran withdraws its forces. Now, that, to me, sounds like we're sending our military to Syria to counter Iran, especially because their withdrawal is apparently dependent on actions of Iran, not actions of ISIS or the defeat of ISIS.
Kyle Remfer, let me ask you about this, because it seems as if what Congressman Moulton is saying is that if indeed this is why the U.S. will be sending troops to Syria in the future, that it may be illegal because they do not have congressional authorization for that.
Yeah, so he's basically making the argument that even if U.S. troops aren't conducting active operations against Iranian forces or Iranian proxy forces, the fact that they are in the region with the mission to balance against those forces or restrict those forces' freedom of maneuver through eastern Syria means that they are conducting a military operation, and therefore the Pentagon, the White House, needs to come to Congress and ask for a new authorization.
Has the White House or the Pentagon shown a willingness to do that?
I mean, I don't think any real administration has shown a willingness to get a new authorization for the use of military force. I mean, that's a question that's also been brought up during the past airstrikes that have occurred against the Assad regime in response to chemical weapons attacks. Some people think that those aren't covered by either AUMF from 2001 to 2002.
Mm. Now, Liz Sly, I mean, the Secretary of Defense James Mattis has repeatedly said, We'll talk specifically about what he has said about this new language from the White House. But over the many years, he has repeatedly said that he sees Iran as the single most, quote, enduring threat to stability and peace in the Middle East, in the region. And to that effect, today you just went on a tour of an alleged missile site in Lebanon that the Lebanese wanted to show the Israelis that it wasn't a missile site. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Well, yes. At the United Nations last week, the Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu held up a picture, a photograph that he said was a satellite image and with three big red arrows on it pointing to purported missile sites that where Hezbollah is supposedly storing or manufacturing missiles which could be used to threaten Israel. So today, the Lebanese Foreign Ministry invited ambassadors of all the countries with embassies in Lebanon to go on a visit to those purported sites to see that they don't contain any missiles. So what we did was we went to a golf course, but that was apparently a mistake and we shouldn't have been there. So then they put us back on the buses and we went to a sports club where we saw a football field and swimming pool and other sports club stuff. And then we went to a warehouse that was kind of empty, and this was designed to show us that Hezbollah is not, in fact, storing missiles in these sites, although it was very hard to tell from the very simple picture that Netanyahu flashed up at the United Nations exactly where these sites were anyway. And so it was very hard to tell if we were in the same spots or not. But certainly we didn't see any missiles.
Ah, okay. So, regarding, for example, Israel's response to the United States starting to talk about a more permanent or at least indefinite presence in Syria, certainly they must be supporting this.
Yes, Israel's very of a more hostile U.S. or more assertive U.S. Posture towards Iran in the Middle East. Under the Obama administration, if you remember, it was Obama who sent the troops into Syria to fight ISIS. But his policy was not to confront Iran in the Middle East. It was to do a deal over the nuclear weapons with Iran, which made Israel rather angry. Now we have the troops finishing up their anti-ISIS mission in Syria under a new administration that takes a much more hostile position towards Iran. And I think Israel is extremely gratified that the U.S. seems to be coming back around to its point of view.
Yeah. Kyle Remfer, let me come back to you and talk in more detail about where Secretary of Defense James Mattis stands on this, because he has said, and as you've quoted him, that in order to complete a mission in Syria, we need to rely on what he calls the Geneva process, right? That's the process that the UN has led in U.S.-backed talks since 2012, largely in Geneva, which is why it's called the Geneva process. But the Secretary of Defense also says, though, that in terms of getting to an end state of the Geneva process or a diplomatic end to the Syrian war, Iran has a role to play, which is to stop fomenting trouble. So, I mean, where does he really stand here on this potential expanded mission that the United States is thinking about in Syria?
I think that he's basically saying Iranian exports of advanced conventional weapons need to be halted, and their funding of proxy forces need to be halted. I think they're coming at it from the perspective that as long as Iranian forces are in the region conducting operations, then they kind of are somehow legitimizing insurgent forces in the state. Mattis hasn't, I guess, been as overt as Bolton has, but he definitely seems to be in the camp of preventing Iranian influence from growing in Syria.
Well,
however,
can I just
I don't know.
Oh, sorry, Kyle. I didn't mean to interrupt, but you're making a really important point. I just wanted to ask a quick question about that. We should remember that James Mattis has long been an Iran hawk, right? I mean, it was his hawkishness on Iran that got President Obama to relieve him from being in charge of Central Command, right, in January 2013. Mm-hmm. And I was looking at an article from Politico in 2016, and they quote a speech that James Mattis gave at the Center for Strategic and International Studies, where he said, you know, "I consider ISIS nothing more than an excuse for Iran to continue its mischief. Iran is not an enemy of ISIS. They have a lot to gain from the turmoil that ISIS creates." And then the Politico reporter says that Mattis essentially was drawing some lines between ISIS and Iran that reminded them of the links that George W. Bush was drawing between al-Qaeda and Iraq, that even though it might not have been Iraq directly that was causing terrorism, you know, al-Qaeda's presence there or links, alleged links, was enough to justify a war. I mean, do you see the parallels in language there?
Yeah, I think that's a fair comparison. I think it's also fair to recognize that the argument that Iranian presence foments trouble can also be applied to the presence of U.S. troops in eastern Syria. Basically, as long as U.S. troops are in eastern Syria, they prevent the Syrian state from being made whole again. And some of the think tank experts I've spoken to on this issue make the case that as long as the Syrian state isn't whole, then Assad will continue to be on a war footing, and he'll continue to try to regain those territories and also kind of create that in-between space between a governed area and an ungoverned area where ISIS can foment.
Mm. So what you're saying is that if the United States continues a military presence in Syria in order to thwart Iran, that could continue an atmosphere of instability, which then might lead ISIS to have an opportunity to regroup.
Certainly, or maybe not ISIS itself, but I mean, it also, if the U.S. isn't spending, you know, sufficient funds to rebuild areas that we've liberated, then there's always the concern that anti-Western sentiment will grow.
Let's get one call in here. Jack is calling from Lorain, Ohio. You're on the air, Jack.
Yeah, I think this is an inversion of the truth. It's the United States that is supporting ISIS and al-Qaeda against the legitimately twice-elected government that has invited both Russia and Iran to counter this aggression by the United States proxies, and even Tulsi Gabbard and Ron Paul have come out urgently saying that we are acting as the backup and supporters of ISIS, and this has to stop. And the ones that are aggressing there are the United States in supporting ISIS and al-Qaeda against the twice-elected government that invited Russia and Iran to help defend against this outside attack. And I think until we get to understand that, these unspeakable truths are not going to be mentioned by the media. And just look up 50 facts about CIA control of the media. We're never going to understand that the premises are being lied to drag us into wars around the world.
Jack, thank you for your call. Liz Sly, we've just got about a minute and a half left here. What is the response from Iran on this new amping up of rhetoric from Washington?
Iran has so far been fairly quiet about it. I think Iran knows when it doesn't need to blow things up. It consistently says it will. It hasn't discussed much the. It hasn't said much about the decision to stay in Syria. I think everybody's still a bit taken aback by that. It consistently says that it talks a lot about. It's very, very unhappy about the nuclear deal, of course, and it has warned that it is going to continue to expand its. It's going to continue to expand its missile program and continue to rearm as long as the U.S. is adopting this hostile posture. And we did see Iran actually send missiles today into the area where the U.S. is fighting in northeastern Syria, in retaliation ostensibly for the attack that killed nearly 30 Iranians in southern Iran last week. And so, yes, I think there's a lot of concern in the region that the U.S. is planning or contemplating some kind of bigger or wider confrontation with Iran. Mm. But certainly leaving those 2,000 U.S. troops in northeastern Syria isn't going to be it, because that's just not enough for a confrontation.
Well, Liz Sly, Beirut Bureau Chief for The Washington Post, speaking to us today from Beirut. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
And Kyle Remfer, reporter for the Military Times, joining us from Tyson's Corner, Virginia. We've got a link to his recent story. It's definitely worth a read. It's called DOD Faces Scrutiny on Mission Creep in Syria to Counter Iran. That link is at onpointradio.org. Kyle, thank you for your time.
Thanks for having me.
I'm Meghan Chakrabarty. This is On Point.